Okay, so we're going to have a message about joy this morning from Louise, and I'm going to read the scriptures that she's going to talk about. The first one is in the book of Nehemiah, which is not read very often, and it's kind of hidden away. It's after Ezra, which is after Second Chronicles, if you're reading along. And it's chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2 and 8 through 10. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. And verse 8. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people, when they heard the words of the law, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine," and send portions to them, to those to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we have a reading from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, chapter 15 as well. It's chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."
Good morning, everyone. So joy. I believe and hope that we have all experienced moments in time when we've had periods of great joy in our lives. And when I was thinking about this, I'm fortunate to name many, but I pulled out a few of them to share with you. First one I thought of, first moment in time when I had abundant joy. When I was 9 years old, my mother was giving birth to the fourth child in our household. I already had two brothers, so I was longing for a baby sister. And so, of course, in those days, the fathers waited by the phone to hear what had happened with the birth of the child. So my father got the phone call. And when I heard I had a baby sister, I was over the moon, jumping up and down. And I've always been so happy and joyous because of my sister. My wedding day, which was almost 50 years ago now, was another joyous occasion, seeing Fred standing at the front of the aisle, going down the aisle with both of my parents, hearing the beautiful music. One of those exceptional, joyous occasions. When my daughters were born, seeing their little faces, holding them, nursing them, and then, of course, watching them grow into the beautiful women that they have become. Singing has always been very important to me, always giving me a lot of joy. And I love that hymn that we just heard and sang together. But one of the things that I hadn't done, I really wanted to be part of musical theater. I'd never done that before. So at age 47, I tried it out for a part in Jesus Christ Superstar at the Metropolitan Community Church. I got a part. It was a blast. I had the most fun. It was a great, joyful experience. And last, but certainly not least, the birth of our little grandson, Frederick. Just being around him is the greatest joy, and I think Fred will echo that to you. When we see him, he wriggles and smiles and chortles for joy to see us. I mean, does the heart good. But the events of the world have certainly overshadowed joy. The terrible pandemic, which seems to be ongoing, killing over 1 million people in this country and more around the world. The terrible war in Ukraine, the devastation, the loss of life, which who knows how long that will go on. The famine in Afghanistan and Yemen and Africa. The terrible sorrow it brings to my heart to see these, especially the little children who are longing for more food. Climate disaster, which is looming ever present in our lives. The terrible gun violence, which we just prayed about and heard about. And once again, involving little children. Our nation seems to be torn apart by lies, by hate and division. This overshadowed joy, for sure. These events have caused me, at times, to lapse into sadness and despair. I just wanted to hide, eat too much, watch too much television. Fortunately, I'm part of a life transformation group started by our pastors. There's three groups now that have started, and we meet once a week for an hour. And part of that is we have some queries that we discuss with one another. And one of those is a personal accountability query. And for me, I struggle with what that should be for me. Kind of wrote a different one each time. And finally, Faith told me, well, why don't you pray about it and write something down? So I prayed that God would take me away from this depression and this urge to hide and put first the kingdom of God. So in praying that prayer, I felt that God spoke to me and said, what about joy? And this just transformed me. I began a joy quest. And I delightedly reread the story of Pollyanna. I don't know if any of you have read the story of Pollyanna. It's an old, old book. But if you look up the word Pollyanna in the dictionary, it says this is an excessively or blindly optimistic person, which is not, if you read the story, you get a much better impression. Here's a little girl who is an orphan, who lost both her father and mother, obviously. Her father was a minister and told her about playing a game called the Glad Game. He told her there were over 800 passages in the scriptures that referred to gladness or joy. And couldn't we all find something to be glad about? So she played this game and taught it to a whole town and turned them from grumbling and miserable, complaining people into people who were helping each other and trying to find gladness and thanksgiving in their lives. So take a look at it sometime. You might enjoy it. Then I read Surprised by Joy by C.S. Lewis. He's a Christian author, I'm sure many of you know. He wrote the books about Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all the whole series. This is this book, The Surprised by Joy, is a kind of early autobiography. And his quest for joy in his early life came in the form of play with his brother. They just enjoyed games that they had together. Later in life, he discovered the music of Wagner and the Norse gods. And he couldn't get enough of either one of those. Got all the records of Wagner, bought all the books he could find on Norse gods to share with anybody who'd be interested. This is what gave him this exciting sense of joy. He turned away from the church and became an atheist for a while. But when at last he turned to Christ and accepted him as Lord and Savior, the ecstatic experiences of joy that he had so sought for in music and books about the Norse gods and so forth, those experiences or those sought for experiences of ecstatic joy receded. And instead, he found the road, as he put it, a life guided by Christ. And if I understand what he said correctly, he found steady joy, a kind of steady joy in the presence of Christ. So when I look to the scriptures, I pondered the many references to joy. And as we heard, there's over 800 of them, or maybe more. And so I was thinking about it and praying about that. And it came to me sort of out of the blue, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I thought, do I know that? Is that in scripture? So obediently went to the search engine, typed it in. And there it was, Nehemiah 8:10. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So who is this Nehemiah? How does this all fit in? As Steve mentioned, Nehemiah lived in the time of the Persian Empire, late Persian Empire. And as Steve told us, Babylon had conquered Jerusalem and Judah a long time before. And many people were carted away into exile. Nehemiah happened to be serving in Persia, in the capital of Persia, in Susa. And he was called a cupbearer to the king, a kind of butler. So he had a kind of prominent position to the king of Persia. But when he read about the devastation in Jerusalem, the holy city, that it was in ruins, the walls were destroyed by fire, he was devastated and turned to God in prayer, confessing his sins, confessing the sins of the people, that they had broken the covenant with their God. And so what should he do? He asked for and was given permission by the king of Persia to go to Judah, to leave Susa, the capital of Persia, and go to Judah, go to Jerusalem, and to rebuild the walls. So the scripture we read this morning, the people are all gathered before the water gate, one of the gates of the walls of Jerusalem. It's kind of in a convocation. And Ezra the priest reads from the book of the law, the book of Moses. And the people are grief-stricken because they know that they have broken covenant with God, the God of their fathers and mothers, God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Moses, who took them from slavery to freedom. They had abandoned God, and they were not worshiping the God of their fathers and mothers. And knowing this apostasy, they fell on their faces in grief. But what gives us strength in time of grief? Returning to faith in God. And so Nehemiah says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the strength that we will need to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It's important to grieve, to repent, to turn to God for strength and guidance. Absolutely. We have to go through that process. And we're grieved at the state of our own apostasy in our own country, worshiping the gods of war, gods of wealth, instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose word is love. Steve also read for us from John's gospel. Jesus' commandment is summed up in love. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." It is the joy of the Lord of love, Christ Jesus, that leads us from grief, that guides us and sustains us and encourages us. We have been given the Holy Spirit, the abiding love of Christ. If we accept it, we too can feel the joy of the Lord, giving strength in time of need. I hope that we will all still experience these moments of joy that I alluded to in the beginning. A beautiful sunset, music, joy of a job well done, a family reunion, a baby's birth, that we will all still have those wonderful experiences. The joy of the Lord. These are gifts of God. But the joy of the Lord is a lasting joy. It's a sustaining power. This joy is our strength. The love of Christ that fills our being, guides and nourishes us in all circumstances.